Amalgamated Film Distributors Limited. Nat Cohen and Stuart Levy present a Peter Rogers production. Carry On, Nurse. Starring Kenneth Connor, Shirley Eaton, Charles Hawtrey, Hattie Jakes, Terence Longdon, Bill Owen, Leslie Phillips, Joan Sims, Susan Stephen, Kenneth Williams. Guest star, Wilfred Hyde Want. With the guest appearance of Michael Medwin. Original screenplay by Norman Hudis. Music composed and directed by Bruce Montgomery. Director of Photography Reginald Wire, BSc. Art Director Alex Vachinsky. Production Manager Frank Bevis. Editor John Shirley. Produced by Peter Rogers. Directed by Gerald Thomas. A banner above park gates reads, County Baby Show Finals today. A woman comes out pushing a pram, followed by a speeding ambulance. The driver and his colleague are both sweating and anxiously checking their watches as they travel at breakneck speed to Haven Hospital. They turn in a swift circle in front of the pillared entrance, then quickly get out. They go to the back doors, then think again and race inside, poking their heads through the hatch of the inquiries desk.
Blue Silvermaid keeping ahead in front of Dasher and Boy Blue, but the favourite Red Knight is now lengths behind. He's right out of it. Inside the last furlong, and Dasher's taking it up, moving through very smoothly. Silvermaid hanging on to second place. And at the post, it's Dasher from Silvermaid behind to take 2 lengths.
The two ambulance men look deeply disappointed and trudge outside. They open the back doors of their vehicle and a young, healthy-looking man sits up from the stretcher.
Well, did it win?
That nags you'll be going into hospital, not you.
Bad luck. I wonder who won the baby stakes. Supposing I'd been on it.
The man looks about curiously as he heads inside.
Ah, where do I go? Hey! I can walk, you know.
Nobody walks in here.
Any chance of walking out?
We got to do the job proper.
Having forced the man to sit in a rather comfortable-looking padded wheelchair, the ambulance men take him on a sedate walk down to a ward, where a nurse and her junior have just finished making up a bed. It's an all-male ward.
Over here, Mr. York.
Right, nurse. Thanks for the ride, boys.
Give us a ride up in the papers.
Will you get into bed, please?
I didn't have time to get my pajamas.
Oh, that's all right. You won't need any just now. Thanks.
What's she got there, Mick?
Appendicitis. 10 days job.
Good blimey, only 10 days. When I think how easily that could have been avoided, I could kick myself, I tell you. See what I said then? I said I could kick myself. Kick myself with that on, I said. I think that's very funny, Mick, don't you, Mick?
The man's leg is in plaster.
Oh, Mick.
Palms, David.
As Mick the orderly heads off the ward, the nurse passes him, then presents Mr. York with a gown.
There you are.
What's that? A shroud?
No. An operating gown.
Mr. York starts to put it on. A light is buzzing on the wall outside a private room.
Your turn. Yes, Colonel.
I want to see that ward orderly chap, Mick.
You can't. It's our job to answer the buzzer, not his.
You've only been here half a day and you've called us a dozen times already for no good reason. Now, do try and remember, the buzzer's only for emergencies.
This is an emergency.
What kind of an emergency? Every time Mick comes in here, he stays too long. I don't know what you two find to talk about.
I dare say you don't. There's some things we men talk about it's better for women not to know.
I can imagine that.
I doubt it, young lady. I doubt it.
Well, what do you want him for? What can he do for you that I can't? Tell me that.
Oh, don't tempt me, girl. Just tell Mick I want him, would you please?
All right. Just this once.
The Colonel's looking at racing form.
Ah, Mick, my boy. That's right, shut the door. Now then, dictation. Got your notebook?
Yes, sir.
Good. Here we are then. Bob Each Way, the Black Prince. That's the 3:30 at Chepstow.
Black Prince, 3:30. That's it. Chepstow.
Half a dollar to win Rambler. R-A-M-B-L-E-R. Now that's the 4:15 at Redcar.
4:15, Redcar.
That's all, I think.
Right, Colonel. Well, you just settle down, Colonel. I'll wait for the results. Mm.
Oh, get me 20 players, would you, please?
Yes, sir.
Don't bother about that.
Good afternoon, name?
Good afternoon. York, Edward York.
Address?
24 Passchendaele Avenue.
Age?
35.
Occupation?
Newspaper reporter.
Relax.
I was covering the baby show.
Next of kin?
No.
Religion?
Which lot has the best record of recovery?
I'm very busy. Come along now, CV. False teeth?
No.
Glass eye?
No. And before you go any further, the rest of me is my own.
Sign, please. Consent for general anesthetic.
Ooh.
Relax.
Mick arrives with a shaving kit.
Hello. I'm Mick.
Hi, Mick. What's her trouble?
Oh, night starvation. Gonna shave you.
Shave? My appendix isn't on my face.
I'm not going to shave your face.
Edward looks a little unnerved as Mick pulls back the bed sheets and drops a dollop of shaving foam onto him. Mick works in a matter-of-fact way, wearing a suppressed smile on his face. The Colonel is buzzing again.
Yes, Colonel?
I'm all crummy.
If you will stuff yourself with those crumbly biscuits...
We'll have to have some pleasure, damn it.
Well, hop out and I'll take the crumbs away.
Where's that fella Mick got to?
He's doing something for Sister. Can I help?
Not unless you know what won the 4:15 at Redcar, you can't.
Oh, you and your racing. All right, get in.
Thank you.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't eat those biscuits.
I eat biscuits, my girl, to calm my nerves.
Rambler won it. 3-1. Comfy now?
Yes. Rambler, did you say? Hoo hoo! Ha ha ha! Good old Rambler. Oh, we'll have a new one, though.
A different nurse gives Edward an injection.
Oof. I warned you.
Thank you. Sister?
I'm not a sister, I'm a staff nurse.
Huh? How do I tell the difference?
Student nurses wear big hats. We call them butterflies.
You call them what?
Butterflies.
Oh, I like that.
They don't. And staff nurses wear these. Got it?
Yes. I think you're wonderful.
Relax, Mr. York.
The student nurse crashes into a trolley.
Nurse Dawson, is it your intention to wreck my ward?
Edward comes round.
Who are you?
I'm a nurse. You're in hospital, but you're all right.
Well, let's have a beer.
You can't have a beer, Mr. York.
She'll give me a beer. I'll go. Oh! Somebody stabbed me.
Lie still. You've got a drain in you.
Now that you've made my bed, you can lie on it.
Mr. York!
Another nurse rescues her colleague from Edward's embrace.
Oh, I'm sorry, Staff. I was just trying to get Mr. York to settle down.
For life?
Lovely.
When you're on night duty, nurse, always carry a couple of sleeping pills with you. There isn't always time to go and fetch them.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, buck up. There's another patient coming in.
Cool, what a place. Bath, sluice room, sterile up. Jane? Look, my hand's all right. I keep telling everybody. I don't have to come here. All you need is just a rub it.
Look, I don't like this place at all. There's lights and bells and
buttons. Come on, Bernie.
Excuse me, miss. I think there's been a bit of a mistake. I don't have to stay here, you see.
Through there, please.
Bernie, a boxer, hesitates at the ward entrance.
I'm not going in there. It's full of sick people. I'll catch something.
You've already got something. For heaven's sake, go in.
No, look, go on.
Ah, Mr. Bishop, come in, will you, please? Now, will you please get into bed?
Look, miss, I'm quite all right, you see. I've sprained my wrist in a fight before now without all this trouble. All I need is a bit of the old massage.
Yeah, well, your x-ray shows a severe dislocation and a collis fracture.
Yeah, well, the x-ray's wrong. It's just a sprain. I'll be as right as rain in the
morning. Shall I give you a hand?
No, that won't be necessary, thanks. Bernie, you do as you're told.
Yeah, but the point is I don't know. All right, darling. Kiss the baby for me.
Now, Mr. Bishop, will you sit down, please?
Hmm?
What?
Bernie Bishop's just come in. The boxer. He's hurt his hand.
What do you expect me to do? Stand up a cheer? Do me a favor, will you? Go to sleep.
Sorry. I thought you were a fan.
Let's all get a bit of peace. This is a mad ass. I'll be glad when I get home. Bernie Bishop, he says. Bernie.
God. What a punch, though. He landed in row F.
Well, don't worry. We'll soon fix that hand so that you don't roll on it when you're asleep.
Right.
Just stand up, please.
Okay.
There. Right. Now.
Okay, what? What?
Well, you can't sleep in those.
That's quite all right. I can take more.
With one hand?
Yeah, I can manage. Thank you. You two ladies, just turn your backs, please. Be good. No. Wait a minute. Hey, what's going on? You can't... What a sauce. Nurse, please.
What a fuss about such a little thing.
Bernie looks a little hurt. The Colonel.
Come in.
Mick enters.
Good morning, Colonel.
It's not. No racing. What are we going to do to amuse ourselves today, eh?
I really don't know, sir. Not unless you're interested in a little private wager, sir.
What are you talking about?
With me, that is. You see, it's matron's round today. Well, now, she usually averages about 14 minutes 10 to about 16 minutes 30 seconds from the top of the stairs to the last bed in the ward.
Half a crown on the nearest time to a second, eh?
That's it.
Are you on?
I'm on, sir.
Got a stopwatch?
I'll get one.
Edward is woken by the sound of a vacuum cleaner. Mick starts polishing the door handles, and Nurse Dawson gathers up some books from the bed of a studious-looking man wearing glasses.
Just a moment.
I'm sorry, it's matron's round.
What's going on?
Matron's round.
I don't care if she's triangular.
Mick! The veranda! Sweep the veranda first. Do you mind? Please, let's get on. I say, you don't know what you've missed.
Don't I?
The most marvellous recipe. Don't you worry, I shall be at it the moment I get out. It's made in a flash. Camper's Jamboree Folly. I have it here. You take a couple of red raisins, two whites of eggs, one grated earphone. Earphones? Oh, you wicked bad girl. I shall miss the next programme.
Feudal, that's what this place is. Feudal. I could choke. I'm studying nuclear physics, the thing of the future. I've got an examination to pass, and I'm delayed because a survival from the surgical stone age called a matron is going to walk through here. I could spit, I could scream. My name's Oliver Rickett. You've made rather a mess of your hand. Industrial injury.
Pardon?
Hurt it at your work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a boxer.
How savage.
It's no more savage than what you're doing, mate. Pressing buttons and making explosions and giving everybody horrible weather in the summer.
Come along, please.
The ward staff file past the severe sister just as a man arrives carrying a case.
Yes?
Oh, good morning. My name's Perkins, Ted York's editor. I've just brought some things along from his desk. Can I see him? A newspaper man, you know, very busy at nights.
Oh, yes,
I doubt if he'll get anybody, you know. If I can't see him now, I just...
Of course.
Ted will never get a single visitor, you know, unless I can...
Oh, good morning, matron.
Good morning, sister. Come along, come along. We must be quick. I'm due at a meeting now. Good morning, Mr. York.
Good morning.
Everything all right, I hope?
Yes, thank you, matron.
Nurse?
Shh.
Good morning, Mr. Hinton.
Mr. Hinton, please.
Beg pardon.
You're all right.
Hinton's listening to a radio program. Mick's keeping an eye on a stopwatch.
Feeling all right today?
As well as can be expected.
Well, if that's all there is to it, why all the fear and trembling?
You'll see. That wasn't typical. Stick around a few days.
Haven't got much choice, have I?
Carry on, sister.
Thank you, matron.
Can I come out now?
Yes, Mr. Perkins, yes, but be quick, please.
Thank you very much.
Come along, everybody, back to work.
Mick ducks into the colonel's room.
Crikey, Colonel. She broke an all-time record today. 12 minutes, 20 seconds. Now, I said 14.2, you said 14.50. You owe me half a crown, Gov.
All right, there's some money there. Help yourself. I'll toss you double or quits.
Well, I must fly, sir. I'm all of a rush this morning.
Blast the matron.
Listen, hospital life from the patient's point of view. Byline Ted York, dateline on the spot. A series. It's surefire. Look, everybody's interested in the hospitals. Look, we can't miss. I'll run special supplements, special advertising. I'll give you a bonus.
It's as good as written.
That's me, boy. All you got to do is to sit here and watch and listen and write.
And don't forget the bonus.
I won't.
I'm sorry, you must go now, Mr. Perkins. Mr. Stevens is making his round a little earlier today.
Certainly. Don't forget, Ted. Keep it clean. Bye-bye.
Sure.
Bye, nurse.
Edward notices his nurse gazing at the consultant as he strides onto the ward.
Well, what's all this about an anaesthetic? I just thought I needed to drop any old massage in it.
Well, we have to manipulate your wrist, set your hand in plaster of Paris. The pain would be too great.
Oh, now, come on, Doc. Please, I can't bear any amount of pain. I mean, you just do what you have to right now.
I've read about your left hook, Mr. Bishop. I have no desire to feel it.
You'll be well advised to sign.
You'll be here a week. After that, with a little luck, you'll fight again in about 3 months' time.
Bernie looks alarmed, then concerned.
I'm sorry, there's no quicker way.
Being in a public ward is quite an experience for me, and a surprisingly pleasant one, I must admit. Mind you, of course, coddling can go too far.
Definitely.
Private enterprise, that's the ticket. I mean, you take my house, for instance, on the west side of the common. I saw it on a Monday, brought off a deal in the city on Tuesday, bought it on the Wednesday. Cash on the nail. Private enterprise, there is nothing like it.
Definitely. That's how I got my house.
You've got your own place?
Yes, the manor, west side of the common.
What, that lovely state? You own that?
Rent it. 23 bob a... No, I'm a liar. 22 and ninepence a week from the council.
But how?
Well, they had to give us somewhere. I've got 11 kids. Private enterprise, definitely.
May I borrow your chair?
The nurse moves a chair, then climbs up onto it and rests one foot on a side table. Bernie looks thrilled to find himself confronted by a shapely pair of legs encased in stockings and tries to get Oliver to take a look, but he's engrossed in his books. The nurse climbs down.
All right?
I was.
Mr. Hinton prepares to play along to the music flooding through his headphones, using his bed table as a piano. Edward.
I want to talk to you.
I want to talk to you.
Oh? What about?
Yes or no today?
Well, as a matter of fact, no.
Edward sips some medicine.
Drink it.
Mr. Hinton has got so involved in playing air piano that he's fallen right out of bed. He clambers back in time for the next segment. It's visiting time on the ward. Bernie's bed has been surrounded by screens, and he's sleeping with his fractured wrist secured to the headboard. The nurse, who gazed longingly at Mr. Stevens, joins Edward.
Good evening, Mr. York.
Hello.
Would you like a hospital visitor?
A what?
A hospital visitor. Someone who volunteers to chat with patients who have no visitors.
No, thank you. You visit.
You see enough of me all day.
The nurse crosses to Bernie's bed and places a cool hand on his forehead.
Cool. A lady referee.
Back in the land of the living, Mr. Bishop?
Hmm?
I got the compensation form from the union, dear.
Well, it's about time. Let's fill it in.
Tony Cleverford.
Mr. Hickson's wife spreads out the form on his bed.
How do you expect to fill that thing in properly like that? Why don't you find something to lean on?
Take this book. Full name.
Well, don't tell me you don't know that by now.
No, it's all right, dear. It's only thinking aloud. Oh, block letters, say. Now, date of accident?
27th.
No, dear, it couldn't have been.
Look, I ought to know.
No, dear, it couldn't have been. Because the 27th, I went to see Grandma. You came to fetch me at the station.
Look,
couldn't have done that with a broken leg, dear, could you?
What difference does it make?
Well, it must have been the next day, then.
All right. So it was the next day. What difference does it make?
Oh, Purse, do try and be reasonable.
Reasonable.
Well, I mean, you've got to be accurate on these things. Otherwise, well, anybody could write in and claim.
Marge, look, just you write it down, girl. Just get it down, that's all.
Now, do you expect this incapacity to last more than a week?
No, I'm going to a dance tonight.
Oh, Purse, do help.
Well, gives me the sick, all these dark questions.
Well, they've got to know these things, dear.
Look, I fell off the scaffold and I broke my perishing leg. Now, what more do they want to know? My father's chest measurements? Oh, blimey. Now, don't you start.
Well, I can't help it. It's too much. You stuck in here and your leg's stuck up there. I'm all alone.
I know, with three kids.
Oh, first, don't.
Marge, I'm sorry now. Don't go on like that, girl. I'll get fed up, you see, stuck in here like this.
Oh, I know. It's not very easy for me, you know. You won't even help to fill the form out. No. Too much, Percy. It's too much for me.
Well, look, I'm sorry, girl. I'm sorry. Percy will kiss it better, eh? Marge, you'll have to come closer, girl, you see. I can't move, you know.
Hmm? Oh, untie my hand, nurse, will you, please?
Not yet. You might fall asleep again.
Oh, take all these screens away, nurse, please. I can't bear being shut in, please.
All right.
Oh, my little boy. Cool. You should see he's right when he punches our cat. Cool.
An attractive young woman with her cropped hair tucked under a beret and a clutch of books in her hand approaches Oliver's bed.
Hello. I'm Jill Thompson. Harry Thompson's sister.
Oh, yes, of course. Do sit down, please.
Harry's sorry he couldn't get here. Well,
He sent some books.
Oh, thank you. Problems of radiation. Nuclear physics advanced theory. It's splendid. What's this? Wakefield's practical surgery.
Oh, dear. Harry must have put that in by mistake.
Never mind. Yes. Looks absorbing enough. Yes, indeed.
You look pale, though. There's no getting away from it.
Ah, it's probably because I can't sleep. Being away from you, I expect.
Shh.
No, honest.
You must sleep. Ask the doctor for something.
Don't be silly. He can't give me what I need.
Bert.
Well.
I'm awfully sorry. I do appreciate your bringing them.
Harry told me you live for your work.
Where have we met before? I have a curious feeling we've met.
At home, once.
Oh, yes.
How are you getting on?
All right, thank you.
That's good. Is there anything else I can bring you?
Oh, no, no, thanks.
Visiting time's nearly over. I think I'll go.
Must you?
Perhaps I'll look in again sometime. You might want something.
Oh, good. That's most kind.
Goodbye.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Oliver. Cool. What a way to treat your nice girlfriend.
She is not my girlfriend.
She'd like to be, mate. Yeah, you can take it from me. She'd like to be.
Oh, Nurse Dawson. Visiting time's over. Ring the bell, will you?
Yes, sister. All right, I'm coming.
Nurse Dawson accidentally presses the fire alarm and engines are dispatched from a station. Sister sees the visitors still there and looks surprised.
Seconds out.
Nurse Dawson.
Yes, sister?
I thought I told you to ring the bell.
Well, I did, sister.
Then why are the visitors still here?
Well, I don't know.
She gulps nervously.
Oh, crikey.
Night has fallen, and most of the patients are asleep.
What's the matter, Mr. York? Can't you sleep? Wind? Nurse?
Star?
Yes?
Sorry about last night. I was a bad boy.
Oh, I've seen worse.
You like night work?
Yes.
Nice and peaceful.
Sometimes. Good night.
Good night. Oh, thanks, Nurse.
Oh, my God!
Hello, you're early.
Sister told me to sterilize these rubber catheters last night. It went clean out of my head. I've just got time.
Well, you haven't the sterilizers full.
Oh, crikey. Oh,
look, don't panic. I'll put them in a kidney dish on the gas stove for you if you'll see what he wants.
Okay, thanks. What is it, Colonel?
Hello, you're early.
Well, anyone would think I was always 4 hours late. What can I do for you?
Just if I can remember coming in early like this, you put it right out of my head.
Well, suppose you buzz again when you remember, if it's important.
What do you mean, if? Of course it's important. Why remember? It's my pulse. It's racing, like I ought to be today.
It's your imagination, Colonel.
Positively pounding, I tell you.
You're feeling the wrong place. Give it me.
What did I tell you?
Quite normal.
Impossible.
Patients aren't allowed to contradict.
Hello. You're early.
The next person says that to me, I'll spit right in their eye.
Good morning, Nurse Dawson. You're early.
Yes, sister. Morning, sister.
Dawson's colleague has left the catheters in a kidney dish on the stove. Mick's giving all the bed tables a wipe over in readiness for matron's round. Matron herself checks for dust as she comes down some stairs, then heads towards the ward, looking starched and solid in her pristine uniform and crisp white hat.
Is it a matter of life and death, Colonel?
No, but...
Well, then please wait.
The kidney dish has boiled dry.
Miss.
Morning, Doctor.
Having clapped her hands, the ward staff file past Sister. Mick grabs his broom on the way. Sister takes a look around the room, then tuts and positions a chart so that it's in the centre of the bedstand rather than off to one side. Some orderlies swiftly step aside as the formidable matron stalks the corridors.
Good morning, Sister. Those screens are untidy, Sister.
Oh, I'll see them at once.
Morning, Mr. Reckitt.
Good morning, Matron.
Your temperature's behaving very oddly, I see.
Perhaps it'll settle down when I get up. Tomorrow, Mr. Stevens said.
Good. Don't study too hard.
I don't know any other way to absorb knowledge, Matron.
Morning, Mr. Bishop.
Morning, Matron.
Mr. Bishop is a boxer, Matron.
How interesting. And how did this unfortunate accident occur?
Oh, it was in a fight. We had a fourth round of an eliminating contest. I'm a contender, you see. Well, the bell goes, ding, ding, so it comes up me corner like the clappers. I gave him a...
The clappers?
That is a boxing term, I believe, Matron.
How very interesting.
Yeah, well, I gave him a couple of lefts. Not that, you know, right in the gut. I could have shook hands with his spine straight up. Well, his guard dropped, so I clocked him one dead on the button. That was the end of the bout. Broke me hand.
Well, Mr. Bishop, I hope you'll recover like the clappers.
Well, thanks very much, Mrs. Mate. Very nice.
The catheters are burning, and the smell becomes apparent to Edward, Oliver, and Bernie. Matron notices the smell, and the patient in front of her looks guilty, assuming it must be him.
Oh, what a stink!
The cook appears to be improving.
Sister, investigate that odour.
Yes, certainly, Matron.
Ow! Dawson drops the burnt dish into a sink.
You idiot!
Oh, I'm so sorry, Sister.
You really are a complete fool, aren't you? And you're in Matron's round, too. Well, go into my office and wait for me. Oh.
Everything's quite all right now, Matron.
Dawson rushes onto the ward and manages to knock into some screens.
Nurse Dawson, how dare you burst in like that?
Oh, just a minute. Bloody thing.
It's Matron's round.
Well, mine's a point.
Well, nurse, what is it? I told you to wait in my office.
Well, I did, Sister. There was a phone call, emergency admission.
Very well. Carry on, nurse. Oh. We shall just have room. Mr. Jackson's going home today. I wonder whether perhaps you'll forgive
me. I'm quite capable of continuing my round alone, Sister.
Oh, thank you very much, Matron. Nurse Dawson, are you training for nursing or demolition?
I'm sorry, Sister.
Yes, Colonel?
I heard a crash. What's going on?
Oh, nothing.
Stop, nurse! Stop, nurse! Oh, I can never find you when I want you.
What did you want me for, Sister?
An emergency admission.
Yes, Sister, what sort of case?
What? Well, stupid Nurse Dawson didn't get the details on the telephone.
Shall I telephone, Sister?
I'm quite capable of making a telephone call for myself. Thank you very much, staff nurse. Would you please go and get Mr. Jackson's bed ready for the admission?
Yes, Sister.
The new admission is taken out of the ambulance.
Been starving yourself, Mr. Gray?
Couldn't eat. Such pain. Last night.
Good. That means that we don't have to starve you and I can operate that much sooner. Nurse?
I'll operate tonight.
Yes, Mr. Stevens.
Nurse Denton realizes that Edward has seen her giving Mr. Stevens an adoring look. She goes to the window to watch the handsome consultant walk away, then sees him admiring a passing nurse and looks upset.
What's all this you need on, nurse?
Massage. Prevent bed sores.
Oh, yeah? Getting to the bottom of the trouble, eh?
That's right.
Nurse Georgie Axwell starts vigorously rubbing Bernie's back, then sprinkles some talc and more oil onto him before starting to move south from the base of his spine.
Anything wrong?
Oh, no, no.
No, very nice, thank you.
Bernie has to try and keep control of himself as she gives his bottom a rigorous massage.
Janie, supposing I couldn't ever fight again. Just suppose. Deep down, would you really be pleased?
I don't like you fighting. Sometimes I can hardly bear to look. But you're happy when you're pushing someone's face into the middle of next week, and I like to see you happy. So you get that hand better and come out fighting.
I'm glad I married you, Jane.
I've got a surprise for you.
Pickled red cabbage?
It's not red, it's ginger.
My manager.
I'll send him along.
What a pity I'm not allowed to bring the children.
Yes, it's allowed in the private wards.
Oh, well, we couldn't afford that.
Hush.
What?
Oh, nothing. Rhoda, dear, do try to say pardon, not what.
Sorry, Henry. Do you like this?
What? I mean, pardon? Oh, yes. Oh, very nice, yes.
For when you come home. I bought it with our divvy from the co-op.
Rhoda, please.
What's the matter, dear?
Never mind. Any other news?
Oh, we've had a letter from the Building Society.
Rhoda.
Ginge.
Bernie.
Norma's well. Come on in.
Well, how are you, Bernie boy? Fine. You look great. Just great, son. Great. I'll give him the flowers, then you'll choke him gripping him like that.
Ta Norm, my old sparring partner. How are you, mate?
They're fine.
Yeah, he's fine. No one will ever know how I suffered when you busted your hand like that, Bernie boy.
Hey, Ginger. Why haven't you come in here to see me before now?
Well, as it happens, I have got a reason for coming to see you. That is a reason over and above my natural warm and human concern as a manager for one of my boys. I am a showman, but I have an unpleasant duty to perform. I have come here to give you a thick ear.
I won, didn't I? This was an accident, you know, but I beat him.
Too true, you won. Too flipping fast, you won.
But I had him beat. What do you expect me to do, dance a cha-cha with him for another five rounds?
You've been flippant, but I'm glad to see you've got the right idea.
I don't understand.
You don't understand. I'm a showman. Now, that's what you've got to be. You've reached the stage now when you're right in the public eye. What you need is a gimmick.
Gimmick?
Gimmick.
Belt up. Yeah, a gimmick. Something that the public associates with you alone. You remember Frisco, Freddy? You remember Frisco?
Frisco, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He was a boxer who used to ride punches all the time, didn't he?
Exactly. Used to ride them, ride them. The crowd loved it.
Yeah, well, look, I could do that.
Yeah, no. You used to train with Frisco, didn't you? You used to train with Frisco, didn't you?
Definitely.
Well, come on then, let's show Bern how you used to spar with Frisco. Here. I'll tell you, it was marvellous. It was just like a ballet dancer. And he used to punch... Hold that. Right, easy now. Punch, ride, punch, ride, punch, ride. Very flash, punch, ride. He used to ride the lot, he did, until he was ready, and then... Whoosh, knocked him cold, it did.
Nurse! No.
Nurse.
Edward has managed to get out of bed.
Just a minute, Mr. York.
Hello, what's that?
For your bows. Sit down, please.
You, given one of these before?
Oh, good gracious. Hundreds. Get it down now.
Other end, nurse.
Never mind. With a face like mine, it's a mistake anyone might make. Persecution. That's what it is, persecution. I shall write to the Minister for Health.
Never mind, you live through it.
It's a miracle you do. Oh, you all ought to strike. One day, that's all it would take, one day, and the nursing profession would advance 100 years. Why don't you organize a march to Downing Street?
And Sister Anna will carry the banner.
Oh, fat-headed farce makes me puke.
There. That's you settled.
Settled? I feel about as settled as an active volcano.
Mr. Hinton has taken up his conductor's baton again as Matron is approaching the ward. She strides along a corridor, glancing left and right. Mr. Hinton pretends to play a trombone. He finishes off as a triangle player. Matron's doing her rounds when Bernie scuttles back into the ward, watched by the snooty Oliver. Bernie lies on the bedclothes and Sister hurries over.
Please don't lie on top of the bedclothes. Matron's rule.
Oh, sorry.
In bed or out, but never on old Dookie's time.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Everything all right, Mr. Bishop?
Yes, fine, thanks, Matron. I can feel my hand getting better, you know, sort of knitting.
Excellent. Keep up the good work.
Right.
Everything all right, Mr. Eckert?
Medically, yes, Matron. Otherwise, no. This is my first day out of bed. I have to move about, I'm told, yet rest when tired. As I have stitches in my stomach, all movement is painful.
Oh, I'm afraid there's nothing I can do about that, Mr. Eckert.
I realize that, Matron. I wonder, though, if you could satisfy my curiosity on one point.
I will try. What is the point, Mr. Eckert?
Why must I endure the extra pain of getting into and out of bed when I can rest just as effectively lying on top of the bedclothes?
I don't like to see men lying about. It makes the ward look untidy.
I see. It isn't a medical rule.
I don't see what that has to do with it.
I'll explain, Matron. If a doctor asks me to hang by one arm from the ceiling, wearing an aqualung, with my birthday tattooed on my left buttock in shorthand, I'll do it. He aims to cure me. Your rule has nothing to do with my cure. Therefore, it has no meaning in here.
Mr. Eckert, I...
Excuse me. I wish to rest.
He deliberately lies on top of the bedclothes.
Sorry, Matron. I thought your round was over.
Matron heads out, followed by Sister.
I'm so sorry.
Sister, this ward is the slackest in the hospital and the untidiest.
Oh, but Matron...
See that all the beds are remade at once.
All the beds?
I think you heard what I said, Sister. Good morning.
Stop, nurse. This ward's a disgrace.
You have no control over the nurses.
But, Sister...
It's time we had a little discipline. Remake all the beds.
The beds?
Beds, beds, beds. Are you deaf? B-E-D-S. Go and do it at once. Now.
Yes, Sister. Nurse Axwell. Nurse Axwell.
Yes, Doc?
Come here. Get new bedclothes for the whole ward.
Today?
Not tomorrow, not Christmas, but today. T-O-D-A-Y. Today.
Nurse Dawson. Nurse Dawson.
Yes?
Yes, what?
Yes, nurse. Get you.
Oh, you're so rude, you student nurses. Come and help me get fresh linen.
Hmm? But this isn't the day for...
One more word out of you and I'll report you. Now come along.
Yes, nurse. Oh, oh, you clumsy great oaf.
Well, look who's talking.
Oh.
Ah, good morning.
Good morning.
Got any fruit bars?
No, I've got a sliced nut.
Come to the right place to have it mended, haven't you? Oh, dear.
Oh. Sit down, Mr. York.
Oh, hello. I wanted to...
Nurse Denton pops a thermometer in Edward's mouth, then holds his wrist and takes his pulse. She makes a note of it on a clipboard.
How am I doing?
Both up slightly.
Any idea why? You know, nursing training is right out of date.
What do you mean?
Well, they should have taught you that there isn't always a medical reason for a fast pulse.
Hello, chaps.
Mr. Bell.
Ding dong, you're not wrong.
This way, please.
Hello. Hello.
Get into bed, Mr. Bell.
I say, look here, nursey. I'm going to be in and out of here inside a few days. Well, surely I don't have to go to bye-byes.
In.
Oh, what a bore. Oh, well, you're the governor. Oh, what's the matter with him?
Mrs. Dale's diary.
Tails. You, Lou. Every 5 minutes, he's becoming impossible.
Well?
There's a big annoying lump in my bed.
There is. I mean, there is.
Where's that fellow Mick?
He's not allowed in here, and you know it. If Sister catches him putting on bets for you, we'll all be sacked.
We'll get a telephone installed in here, and I can do it myself.
What do you think this is, an hotel?
Hey, Oliver.
Hmm?
I've been meaning to ask you. Was it the anesthetic, or did I really see a real nice girl come to visit you the other night?
Hmm?
A girl. Did I see a girl come to see you?
Yes.
Very nice, too, eh? You're a lucky fella.
What?
I said you're a lucky bloke.
What on earth are you talking about?
Oh, never mind.
Bernie drops banana on one of Oliver's books.
It's very kind of you to show me the way, Mr. Stevens.
Oh, I like to make newcomers feel thoroughly at home.
Thank you again.
We must have a drink together tonight to celebrate your first case.
Must we?
Of course. We've a lot to talk about.
Such as?
Why, surgery, of course.
You're too kind and optimistic. I might botch the case.
Oh, you won't. Good luck.
The new consultant walks past Mick, wearing a very tight and spotless white coat.
Good afternoon, Dr. Wynne.
Good afternoon, staff nurse. Mr. Bell's arrived, I believe.
This way, doctor. Good afternoon, Mr. Bell.
Good afternoon.
Hallux valgus. Straight out of the book, nurse.
Yes, doctor.
I'll operate tomorrow morning. Nothing to eat for you today, Mr. Bell.
Of course not, darling. Doctor.
Thank you, nurse.
Dr. Wynne gets approving looks from the patients.
Wow!
Ravishing.
Oh, she could take out my drain any time.
Oh, she's all the compensation I'd want.
Cool. How about a couple of rounds with her, eh? Winner take all.
The sex-mad fools.
Anyone for water?
Hey, Mick, where have you been hiding Dr. Wynne?
Yeah, why wasn't we done by her then?
Oh, she's new and junior. Only handling simple cases for a while. What have you got, Mr. Bell?
A hallux valgus.
Oh, a bunion.
Oh, blimey. Do you mean he gets hurt by a bunion?
Yes, Colonel?
Oh, sorry to be a nuisance, my dear, but my bandage has slipped.
That's all right.
Well, I ought to know. It's flapping about like a flag at half-mast. Any idea what won the 230?
None at all.
What? I thought you were interested in racing.
At the moment, the only thing I'm interested in is getting you settled so that I can get on with something more important.
Oh, dear, aren't I important?
As a patient, yes. As a congenital gambler, no.
My dear girl, your values are all wrong. It ought to be the other way around.
What, the bandage?
No, no, no. You know what I mean. Where's Mick?
He's busy.
Won't be too busy to come and see me.
If he's any sense, he will. There. Is that better?
Yes, thank you very much indeed. Oh, nurse, don't forget about Mick, will you? I love them.
Nurse Axwell lets the visitors onto the ward. Oliver is filing his nails and glancing anxiously at the clock. A woman presents Mr. Bell with some bottles of champagne.
There you are, Poppet, to celebrate tomorrow when it's all over.
Oh, Megsy, you're a darling.
Anything else I can bring you?
Any yourself, sweetie. Every single day. How's my car?
Oh, not to worry, darling. I took it in for servicing, and it'll be all ready in time for our little trip. I've booked secluded little hotels all along our route. Separate rooms, of course.
Oh, just think of it. A whole week together in separate rooms. Oh, wacko.
Starting 1 week from now. You're sure your silly old bunion will be settled by then?
Megsy, darling, everything will be settled by then.
Jack.
Hey, Janie. I wonder if you'll forget me.
Of course not.
Oh, I don't know. Kids do, you know. I heard of a case once.
Well, not in these few days, silly. Is there anything you want?
Yeah, pickled red cabbage.
I don't know if you'd be allowed.
Well, of course I would. My hand's got nothing to do with me belly, has it?
Well, I'll ask the sister anyway.
Good. Oh, don't go now.
Well, I have to, darling. I've left the baby with Mrs. Williams.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, give him a kiss from me, will you? See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jane blows him a kiss as she walks away.
Expecting her, Oliver?
Of course not. I've got far more important things to worry about than entanglements.
It's so sensible having afternoon visiting on half-day closing. Mind you, I expect I could get away from work anyway.
Rhoda, my dear, keep your voice down, dear. No need to let everyone know you go to work.
Oh, really, Henry? If I didn't know you better, sometimes I'd think you were a snob. I really would.
You sure you asked for something to make you sleep?
Yes, love. Can you have it tonight?
Cynical or cynical or something.
Oh, that's a relief.
I'd rather have a point of old and mild. I told them too, but they don't know anything.
Oh,
Bert. Well, they don't.
Jill arrives, and Oliver looks genuinely thrilled.
Miss Thompson, I was just thinking about you.
Oh, were you?
I've been thinking about you constantly. Miss Thompson, Jill, tell me something. I've
been thinking of you, too, ever since you came to our house. But Harry said you'd no time for girls.
Your brother will be a marvelous doctor someday, but so far he knows very little about the human heart.
Oh, Oliver.
Jill.
I bought you some nugget.
Nugget?
Don't you like it?
I love it.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? We like the same things. Oh, I hate to go. There's so much I want to say.
Visit me again every day. Promise?
Promise.
Jill.
Oliver.
Jill blows him a kiss, and he blows one back, then takes a manly bite of Nougat. Bernie's grinning.
I told you. She's stuck on you.
A student nurse wearing large glasses knocks on a staff room door.
Come in. Nurse Nightingale reporting staff. I've been sent here by Night Sister.
Oh, yes.
We have to special a patient, Mr. Mayhew. Have you worked on a surgical ward before?
No, staff. I'm on first year nights. I've only been on women's medical so far.
Come with me.
The staff nurse rolls her eyes at a colleague. They approach a bed surrounded by screens.
Now, listen. This is a gastrectomy patient. He's lost a lot of blood and he's having a blood transfusion. While he's unconscious, all you have to do is to see that the needle doesn't come out.
Yes, staff.
Now, don't leave him. If there's anything you want to know, if you're in any sort of doubt, just press that button and Nurse James or I'll be along.
I understand. Leave it to me, staff.
Nurse Nightingale sits down and stares intensely at the unconscious patient.
I thought you'd like some tea. This is a very boring job.
Thanks, nurse.
Nurse James smiles to herself, then walks away. The chief night nurse is looking in files. Nightingale slowly stands up and leans over the patient with her ear to his mouth.
Staff? He's dead.
The staff nurse looks alarmed, then checks the man's pulse and puts Nightingale's fingers on his wrist. Nightingale looks a little sheepish, then sits back down and continues to stare unblinkingly at the still alive patient. Mr. Hinton has fallen asleep with his headphones on. The nurse gently removes them and gives him an indulgent smile before walking away. Some of the patients are sleeping, but others are restless, and the staff nurse warns Nurse James.
Stand by. It's going to be that sort of a night.
Nurse! I think I feel sick.
Hold it.
Nurse James scurries out and comes back again carrying a basin and a cloth.
Now, sit up.
Staff, he opened his eyes.
Really?
Yes, opened and closed them, just like this.
Very interesting. If it happens again, just call me. I'd like to see that.
You would?
Nightingale sits back down, wearing a big smile, and picks up her tea without shifting her gaze from her patient. Oliver has been sick. Nurse James notices the half-eaten bar of nougat on his side table.
Oh, really? What can you expect eating filthy stuff like this?
It wasn't that. It was that compost heap we had for supper. I shall write to my MP.
You do that. Do you feel better now?
Nurse James sanitizes a bedpan in an antique-looking machine.
When are we going to get a new sluice, staff? That old thing...
Never mind about the sluice. Go and have a look at Mr. Abel. He's on Sinacol. One never knows how it's going to take some people.
I thought it only affected old men peculiarly.
Well, in here, they age fast.
Mr. Abel has hopped out of bed and dropped his trousers. He's unbuttoning his shirt with a mischievous glint in his eyes when James spots him.
Mr. Abel! Are you feeling all right, Mr. Abel?
I'm going for a swim.
Oh, no, you settle down.
You settle down.
Mr. Abel falls on Mr. Hinton.
Take care, let's go, girl. Let's try this.
Mr. Abel dashes off wearing a dressing gown.
Impertinence.
The Colonel.
What the devil's going on?
Nothing. Me, Mr. Abel.
Now get your clothes on, girl. You can't swim with your clothes on. Come along now. Come along. There's your girl. Oh, I say, look. Look. Look there. A mermaid.
Mr. Abel dashes off the ward and into a lift. The lift goes up and the nurses race off, but Mr. Abel comes back down again.
Look out, it's coming back.
Streamers!
Mr. Abel runs about throwing toilet rolls into the air, waking all the patients. The Colonel.
What the blue blazes is going on?
Nothing, Colonel.
Nothing indeed. I'll go and find out.
Mr. Abel yanks on the traction holding Mr. Hickson's leg, and ball bearings spill onto the floor and get under people's feet.
Me leg! Me fly, me leg!
No. Allow me, nurse, please.
Mr. Bishop.
It's all right, nurse. I'll use me left.
What about me perishing leg?
Are you all right?
Yes, thank you.
Look, I hope I haven't hurt him.
Look, now you go back to bed, Mr. Bishop.
Okay.
Nurse, call the houseman to look at Mr. Abel's jaw. Colonel, will you go back to bed this minute?
I haven't had time to lay the odds.
Now then, Mr. Hickson, what's happened to you?
Nothing, nurse. I always sleep like this.
I'll soon get you that meal. He's fine. He'd like some steak and chips.
You can have a little sterile water for breakfast. Now lie still and don't let that needle slip, understand?
Yes, nurse.
Well, come out of here now. Do you see that man over there without any trousers?
Oh, yes.
Well, get some on him and put him to bed.
Yes, staff.
The staff nurse pours Oliver a glass of water.
Fingers in ears.
This is ridiculous.
Drink.
I've done it, staff.
Good. Take over here.
Fingers in ears, please.
I can't.
Come on now.
I think I'm going to be sick again.
Nurse Nightingale races to fetch a basin.
Is Mr. Abel's jaw broken?
I hope not.
You said it was going to be that kind of a night.
Excuse me. Oh, he's perfectly all right, staff. Just a drop or two.
Oh, good show.
Nightingale takes the basin into the sluice room and opens the door. She peers at it, then pushes a lever and gets a jet of water in the face.
Stop those sluice!
The staff nurse hurries into the sluice room, grabs a towel, then slams the machine door shut. She can't help but laugh at Nightingale.
It's different from the one in women's medical staff.
Wetter, would you say? Oh, can't change.
I can't stop. I can't see to get to the nurse's home. My spectacles have gone down the sluice.
Nurse, will you take Nurse Nightingale to the nurse's home?
Yes, staff. Thank you.
Nurse James helps the drenched student along the corridor.
Now, when do I have my injection?
Just as soon as they tell me to give it to you.
Oh, the waiting, the uncertainty, the starvation. Oh.
Oh, don't be such a baby. Your op's nothing to worry about.
My only worry is I won't get it. Supposing I lose another day. Oh, Jiminy, what a flamed muddle.
Ah, Mr. Bell, back into bed at once, please. You're on this afternoon's list.
Sister, I could kiss you.
He kisses Axwell instead.
Mr. Bell!
Ding dong, carry on.
I say, fellows, what do you know? Tonight they're going to talk about the health service in at home and abroad.
Oh, I say, what jolly fun.
Isn't it, Percival? And guess what? Last year, the whole thing cost £585 million.
Get out of it. I don't believe it.
The man just said so.
I tell you, it's impossible. Ask him again.
I say, would you mind repeating that? Well, no, I nearly did.
Nurse! Oh, we haven't injected Mr. Bell, thank goodness. He can't be operated on today. We have 8 emergencies coming to Wells and Parker. Road smash.
8? That makes my bunion look a bit silly.
Oh, you better put your pyjamas back on.
Yes. Oh, no. I say, nurse, can't they squeeze me in? I've simply got to be done today.
I'm surprised at you. I didn't think you'd be so selfish.
Selfish? If you knew what depended. Oh, by Jiminy, look, I've got a whole schedule. The bunion can wait. I can't. I'm going to discharge myself.
But you can't possibly do that if anything should happen
what
to
you. What could possibly happen from a bunion?
You never know. There was an article in the Nursing Mirror
the other
week.
I don't want to hear. Just don't
want to hear. Well, don't do anything hasty. You think about it.
I say, nurse, could I have something to eat?
Where do you think you're going, Mr. York?
America?
I'm applying for a job. What's your problem?
Oh, I want a bath.
Suppose you fall with the drain in you. No, Mr. York, back to bed, please.
But it's been 6 days now. I've been picked up twice by radar. Oh, please let me have a proper bath. I'll be careful.
Nurse Dawson?
America? That's,
Yes, staff?
See that Mr. York doesn't fall over in the bath.
Look, I don't think I...
Dawson tests the temperature of the bath water.
Not undressed yet?
I think I'll just have a good wash.
Well, Star says you're to have a bath, you have a bath.
But look, all I...
Oh, you baby. Shall I help you get undressed?
No.
Oh, come along. We haven't all day.
Edward looks a bit put out as he takes off his dressing gown then pyjama top. He comes to stand beside Dawson, still wearing his trousers.
Well?
She tactfully looks away as he steps out of them.
What?
He stands in the bathtub.
To think I called you a baby.
It's visiting time. And Oliver takes hold of Jill's hand.
The first time in my life, I can't think of anything to say.
Neither can I.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Yes.
Darling, why can't you be done tonight?
I told you, darling, the theatres are in use.
They're not. I've just passed them both.
Ah, so they finished the emergencies earlier, eh? Hmm, well, bully for them. Look, it's only a bunion. I'm going to discharge myself.
Jackie, no, I've told you I won't allow that. Your health comes first. Never forgive myself if anything happened to you. Besides, I shouldn't enjoy our little trip one little bit for the worry. Now, promise me.
All right, darling. There's only one day, I suppose. I'm being done tomorrow. I'm being starved today. Oh, Megsy, darling. Give me a bite.
Jack, whatever's come over you?
I'm just hungry, that's all. Why, what's the matter with you?
Nothing's the matter with me, Jack. I'm all right.
Tell me. Are you serious about going to America?
Is that really your concern, Mr. York?
Yes.
Let me warn you. Hospitals have a strange effect on most men. They imagine, well, they think they're in love with the nurses. It happens every week to every nurse.
I don't think it's imagination. You do. We'll have to find out who's right before you go to America.
Right now, I'm going back inside. I think you ought to do the same.
Mr. Bell's got something under his dressing gown.
Hello, what have you got there?
What? Hey, help me and the boys kill these. I'm just in the mood.
All the champagne has been drunk.
It's no good. I've simply got to dance. La 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 la.
Oh, shut up and sit down. You want Sister to cash us?
Clumsy beast. Might have broke my arm off.
I could have set it for you, Miss Tinton. It's easy. All in this book. Wakefield's Practical Surgery. Fascinating.
That book, what's it say about bunions?
Page 275. Easy as winking. Do-it-yourself surgery. Easy as drinking.
Do mine.
I have... Who? Me?
Well, you said you could do it.
I'm a new... Well, I'm not a doctor.
Look, it's all science. You've got a book. Surely a man of your brains could knock off a little elementary thing like a bunion.
Well, supposing I did, what would you tell the hospital people with your bunion gone?
Well, I just say it disappeared in the middle of the night. Just like that.
They'd write you up in the Lancet.
I don't care if they stick me on the front cover of the Police Gazette, as long as I get my snogging in as planned. But this loudmouth windbag won't help me. He drinks my bubbly, oh yes, but he won't remove my bunion.
How could I? What about an operating theatre?
Both theatres are free.
All right. I'll try. Oh, dear.
Hello.
Hello, Mickle Man. We're just having a little party.
Well, make the most of it.
Or something up?
Only matron's blood pressure. After last night's little riot. Well, tonight she's posting a nurse to sit in the ward. All night. Just to keep an eye on you lot. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, mate.
Oh, what a pity. We won't be able to do it now. Got to stay in the ward.
Wait a minute. Now, listen, boys. Strategy. Now, there's one thing I did learn in the ring. It's strategy. How to turn a disadvantage to your advantage.
Well, you're not in the ring now, so shut up.
Oh, please, do you mind, Oliver? Now, look, get around, lads. You two, Doc, come over here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Now, look, here's what we do. This nurse could be our strategic opportunity.
Night has fallen, and Mr. Abel gets out of bed. He gives the nurse at the desk a smile before heading off the ward, followed shortly after by Edward. The two men creep up behind the nurse, then Mr. Abel covers her mouth with his hand, and he and Edward bundle her onto a bed. The other patients get out of their beds. Oliver leads the way, holding the medical book in his hand. He listens for a moment at the door of Sister's room. Then he gestures for the others to follow, halting them to listen in at the sterilizing room. He gives the others the all clear, then they head out into the corridor and follow a sign pointing up the stairs for theatres 1 and 2. They reach the double doors of theatre number 1. Oliver heads in, but Mr. Bell has a momentary lapse and has to be pushed in by the others. Oliver turns on a light, which illuminates the operating table and gleaming surgical equipment. Mr. Bell's looking really nervous, but he hobbles into the theatre and picks up a face mask attached to a gas cylinder. Oliver gets himself some scrubs.
Nurse?
Sir.
Mr. Abel steps forward to tie the gown at the back, and Oliver turns on a tap with his elbow. Mr. Bell is taking a look at some of the frankly medieval-looking instruments displayed on glass shelves. Oliver finishes washing his hands, then with no towel in sight, wipes them dry on his gown.
Right, wash his feet with ether soap. That's the green liquid.
Back on the ward, the nurse has been gagged and bound, and Mr. Hinton has put on her uniform.
Now listen, chaps.
Antiseptic liquid soap green. There it is.
Oliver takes some gloves out of a sanitizer.
No, I'm serious. It was only the champagne. No,
John, John, get on now. You must.
This is the stuff. It's all nicely labelled. Very efficient in these hospitals, aren't they?
Oh, it's freezing.
And so it should be.
Oh, it's freezing my foot off.
Wouldn't have to worry about the bunion then, would you, Jack?
Stop laughing about Bernie. Go and get me some antiseptic.
Antiseptic, right.
Ah, then.
You know, it says here that you should apply this with a swab and forceps.
We don't have time for all the trimmings.
Such as an anesthetic?
Now look. I don't want to go on with this. I must have been mad.
Wayne, everything's going so well so far.
Don't be so ungrateful.
Of all the trouble we've taken. Why, antiseptic?
Right. There we are. That's it. That should do. Now, what's next? 5 cc's pentothal. Intravenous injection.
I wonder where they keep the intravenous.
Now, wait a minute.
Do you want this operation or not?
I don't want any of you practicing darts on me.
Well, you must have an anesthetic.
There's always this, you know.
Gas. I don't mind gas.
Ah, gas. That's the Boyle's machine.
But he's got a bunion.
The Boyle's machine. It's over there. Full of nitrous oxide or something. Wheel that in and get it flowing. Right. Now what do we need?
It's like making a cake, isn't it?
Shut up. There's Mark's bandages. They're made of rubber, 3 inches wide. We wrap them tightly around his leg like a tourniquet. You two get those.
Right.
And put on masks and gowns.
Right. Exciting, isn't it?
Won't be long now.
Hello? Brian tonight.
Not you, you idiot. Him.
Look, I don't think I will have gas after all.
Mr. Hinton has nodded off at the nurse's desk. Mr. Hickson pulls himself up by a handle and takes a worried look around the ward.
Oh, blimey. They've gone and done it like they said they would. No. Mr. Hinton! Aubrey! Mr. Hinton! Mr. Hinton!
Mr. Hickson considers pressing his buzzer, then thinks again.
Right, now start unwinding from the foot, but leave a bit of bandage at the top of the leg. Now I need a scalpel to cut the surface of the skin. Two small artery forceps.
Oh, big uns, make it big uns. Nothing but the biggest and the best.
An osteotome.
What's that?
It looks like a chisel, but it has two sharp sides.
Two? Oh, good.
A fine saw. A needle and catgut.
That's right, sew a button on it.
Better give him some more gas. We can't have him giggling all through. That's distracting.
I agree.
What's the matter with you?
Let's get the knives.
The nitrous oxide gas is escaping from the cylinder. Abel and Edward get affected by the laughter.
Mr. Hinton, wake up. Wake up, please.
These'll do.
Oliver's chosen two sharp knives, and Bernie's grabbed a saw.
What's the matter with you lot?
I've got a bunion.
I've got the giggles.
Oh, no, stop mucking about. I don't know what's got into you. Yes, I do. You careless cruiserweight, you.
My weight.
I thought so. You let this thing run.
Hold this over his mouth, and I'll start cutting.
say, Oliver, well, what happens if anything goes wrong?
We have to amputate your leg.
Humphrey, this is Percival calling you. I'm sorry, mates.
Stop it, you're tickling.
I thought you were asleep. Here, hold him, for goodness sake.
Oliver's holding a knife to Mr. Bell's foot.
Nurse, asleep on duty, eh?
Mr. Hinton falls off his chair and staff nurse goes over to her colleague who has been tucked tightly into a bed.
Mr. Hinton, what is the meaning of this?
Thank you, staff.
What happened?
They all went to the operating theatre.
Nurse, please let me explain.
Mr. Hinton, please give me back my uniform. Mr. Hinton.
Oh, no.
Elevate the capsule and the periosteum.
Well, where is his peri...
He's made all wrong. Gentlemen, he hasn't got one.
He must have.
All right. There's the diagram. You find his peri... His peri... But you...
When the nurses arrive, everyone but Oliver has passed out.
Unfind his periscope. Or swabs.
Nurse?
Yes, staff. Beg pardon. Silly me.
Will somebody give me a bottle?
Well, if it doesn't happen today, I don't know what I'll do. All my arrangements are already up the spout. It's frustrating, you know.
Yes, I can imagine.
I hope you don't mind my burdening you with my troubles like this.
Oh, no, not at all. Besides, looks like they're over.
Oh, Mr. Bell, time for your injections.
At last! That's the best news I've ever heard.
What's that?
What was what?
You sneezed. You've got a cold.
Why, sir?
But you can't have an operation with a cold.
Oh, never so ridiculous. I haven't got a cold on my bunion.
I come along inside.
I've never heard anything so... in my...
Nurse! Yes, sister? Get Mr. Bell into the other side ward immediately.
No, yes. No, sister, nurse. No, please, please. I'm all right. Please let me have my operation. No, please.
Don't stand there infecting all the other patients, Mr. Bell. Go with nurse at once.
But you don't understand, sister. I must have it today. I simply must...
Nothing,
girls. I'm
perfectly
all right.
Now, come along.
I haven't got a cold. I'm perfectly all right.
In you go. I'll collect your things.
Oh, Bexy, Jack's not all right.
The colonel rings his bell.
Come in.
Now what?
Oh, dear, sounds as if you don't love me today.
I don't. You're a naughty old buzzer. Now, come along, Colonel. What is it?
Give that to Mick for me, would you, please?
More horses?
More horses, my girl.
All right. Just this once. But if Sister found out...
Surely she'd forgive a student nurse, wouldn't she?
Fat chance.
Really? Perhaps she ought to be reminded of your status, then.
Is there anything else, Colonel?
Let me... Oh, yes, dear. I'm awfully sorry. I dropped my cigars down there. Wonder... Would you mind?
She crawls under the bed.
Oh!
Sorry, dear, I never could resist it.
Well, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Annie.
Goodbye, Mr. Reckitt. You sure you've got everything?
Quite sure. Thank you, nurse.
Oliver heads out with Jill. Nurse Dawson is sorting surgical gloves. She blows into them to make all the fingers pop out.
Staff nurse! Oh, staff nurse, I forgot to give Mr. York his final certificate. I think you'll just catch him.
Surely it could be posted, sister.
You run after him.
Yes, sister.
Edward's heading towards the exit. Nurse Denton stops and smiles, then hurries up to him.
Mr. York.
If I have a date tonight, the name's Ted.
Ted.
Hurry up, nurse. There are other things for you to do, you know.
Yes, sister.
Nurse Dawson.
Bye, Bunny.
Jeremy. Hello, darling.
Hello, love.
Hello, son. Do you remember me? Do you? Got a present for me? Come on, give it to me. Oh, what a punch. Come on, give me a kiss. Oh, that's lovely. Hello, darling.
Hello.
Come on, love.
Maxwell and Dawson go to the Colonel's door.
Come in.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, Colonel.
To what do I owe the honor of this visit?
You're going back into the ward tomorrow.
That's right.
We have to carry out just one final test.
Right.
Let me take a few minutes.
That's all right.
Mick sees the nurses come out of the room.
Hey, what goes on?
We're getting our own back on the old boy.
Oh, he's a sport.
By the time we're through with him, you'll need to be.
How fortunate I met you, Matron.
Matron.
I have a lot to do today, sister. I must get through my rounds early.
But I'm afraid everything won't be quite ready.
Oh, quite all right. I do hope our troublesome colonel won't delay me too long today.
Come in.
Colonel, whatever's going on?
Come, come, Matron. Surely you've seen a temperature taken like this before?
Oh. Yes, Colonel, many times. But never with a daffodil.
She plucks the flower from his bottom. The end.